Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now notice who raised Christ from the dead. What does it say? Raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Now look at Romans 8:11. And it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Who raised him from the dead? Was it the glory or the Spirit?
Spirit.
What did the other verse say it was? So what is the glory of God?
Spirit.
Has to be the Spirit of God in manifestation. It is the Spirit of God, tangible or visible. The glory of God is the Spirit of God. And we talk about glory, we talk about unction, we talk about power, talk about anointing. We're always talking about the Spirit of God. He is the unction, he is the power, he is the anointing, and he is the glory of God. Now, it was he who reached down into the depths of hell and raised Jesus from the dead. That was a part of Jesus' faith as he descended into hell with no way out unless God came through. Now, that may look like what your case is, but you know God always comes through.
Amen.
Just like he did before, he'll come through for you. Now, look back at Exodus, and I want to give you a picture of the glory of the Lord. These are the days of the latter rain. Latter rain. Latter rain. Exodus 16. Now keep the word rain in your thinking. Say rain.
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 Okay. 16:10 came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that he looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the what? The glory of the Lord is compared or comes in cloud form. Now, what comes out of clouds?
Rain.
What comes out of clouds?
Rain.
What comes out of clouds?
Rain.
What are we looking for?
Rain.
What day is this?
Rain.
And where does rain come from?
Cloud.
Okay. Exodus 24 it is. Just want us to get a picture before we get to the punchline. Verse 15. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. Now, was it the glory or the cloud? The glory was the cloud. The cloud was the glory. The cloud covered it, or the glory abode upon it, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day, he, that's God, called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight, say sight,
right,
of the glory of the Lord was like what? Devouring fire. So it's called a cloud. It's also compared to fire. Now what comes from fire? Smoke. And you'll find in the scripture, it's also called smoke. Cloud, fire, and smoke. We're talking about the glory. Now this is when he went up to get the Ten Commandments. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now he was there 40 days and 40 nights in the cloud or in the glory without eating and sleeping. You know why that is? We know without eating. We can guess without sleeping, but without eating for sure. Because the glory of the Lord makes a difference in the physical man. It makes a difference. You know, it's not coming for the entertainment of the church. It's coming to make a difference. Say difference.
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 I think when we stand in the congregation and the glory of the Lord is present, we're not quite sure what we're supposed to do or what we're expecting. And we draw back in fear for fear we might be the next runner or roller. Have you ever had that fear? I know because you can turn around. I'm on the front row, so I got nothing to hold on to. I'm just on my own there. But I turn around and I see all the white knuckles back there. Afraid God might call them to run and to roll. I'm going to tell you why people run and why people roll and what your part is in that so that you can relax and get everything that's coming to you. How would you like to go to the bank and not get everything that's coming to you? You know, if you closed out your checking account, you'd probably go with your little book and you'd know what you had coming to you and you'd want it all, wouldn't you? Would you want it all or just part of it?
All.
I'd want it all too. And we can have it all. It's there for a purpose. Purpose to make a difference. And it made a difference in Moses' body. Now turn over to Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3. It made a difference in Moses' face. The glory of the Lord makes a difference. Say difference.
Difference.
It's not there so that you can go home and say, was that great? Was that wonderful? It's there to make a difference. 3:7. If the ministration of death, talking about the Ten Commandments, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Talking about Moses' face was so bright, Moses had to put a veil over his face. The glory of his countenance, the glory of the Lord, is referred to as shining. It says in the scripture, it shone or it glistened. Do you know that word? We don't use that word too much. A lady told me that men perspire, horses sweat, and women glisten. You probably didn't know that. That's the only other time I heard that word. Glisten! Moses' face glistened, or it shone, or it shined, so they could not steadfastly. They couldn't continually look at him. It was too hard on the eyes. Now what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus? It says he was blinded by a light. The glory of the Lord is hard on the physical man. It causes a response or a reaction from the physical man. Because on the inside, God said, I'll dwell in you and I'll walk in you. And when God starts walking on the inside, the man on the outside says, woo! Isn't that right? God's moving. Well, it wasn't just so you'd have a good time, although you're going to have a good time if you yield. Say yield.
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 Yield. Difference.
Difference.
Okay. Look at Acts chapter 9. The glory of the Lord makes a difference in man. It makes a difference in the physical man. It makes a difference in the mind of man. It makes a difference in the spirit or the heart or the inward man. Now Saul's headed in the wrong direction, verse 1, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter or murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, and that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now what was that light from heaven? Let me show you Acts chapter 22. Light. Light. Where Paul is recounting or retelling his story, and he calls it a light. Well, does fire give light?
Yes.
Certainly it does. He's telling his own story, 22:11. And he says, when I could not see, why? For the glory of the light. 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 Now turn back to Leviticus. The glory of the Lord found in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 9. Verse 23, Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto who?
All.
Unto who?
All the people.
See, you're not going to be an exception. Some people would like to be an exception. Been there myself, I understand that. But it's going to appear unto who?
All people.
Because God wants to make a difference in all men. He's not selecting a few for any higher realm. He's asking all of his people to be full of his glory. Now, turn to Numbers 16, verse 42. Came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. What's it called? A cloud, or glory. And who saw it? Came to pass when the congregation was gathered, and they, the congregation, who saw it? They all saw it. Who was the participant? They all were. So that's me. That's me.
That's me.
That's me.
That's me.
Yeah, it is you. I can hear somebody saying, I sure hope not. Exodus 33. You know, I understand I came from the denominational world, and our church service generally started with a chorus of, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent. That meant you. And I believe in that. There is a time of silence. But it's hard to be silent when the glory is not there. Sometimes because the way the glory comes in our midst, there is that silence caused by His glory. I want to whet your appetite. And I want to show you how to reach out. Exodus 33. And receive that glory. Receive it in its benefits. Now Moses said, verse 18, chapter 33, that he is Moses, said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. Now I thought, that's 33, Moses asked for the glory, God's talking about the goodness. You know what that is? The same thing. The glory of God is good. It is the goodness of God. It is God in His goodness who comes down and walks among His people and causes in the physical man and the spiritual man a reaction that lifts them to higher realm and propels them out to do the work of the ministry of reconciliation, of telling what happened to you. Everybody's responsible for knowing this is what happened to me and sharing that message. I may not ever preach, I may not ever teach, I may not be much of a singer, but I am responsible to tell this is how I got saved, this is what Jesus did for me. And when you step into the presence of that glory, it makes such a difference in you that you can step out into the world and become the minister that you were designed and deemed to be. And that's the purpose of it, so that you can fill up with His presence and you and Jesus can go out into the world together. You know, that's what every child needs. You don't let a child go out by themselves. You take them by their hand. The other day, Ashley's at the house. She's just a year and a half. She doesn't know how to open doors, we thought. But my doors chime. When you open them, all my doors go ding, ding, ding. And I'm in the kitchen. She's just around the corner, about 8 feet away. But there was a little partition wall between us, and I heard, ding, ding, ding. And I know she's out. She's escaping. She's leaving. And I know Mama won't appreciate if she comes and Grandma's not got her. I said, this won't work. And you know they move fast once they get out. And that's what happens once God's people get out of their bondage. They begin to pick up speed. And this is the day of the latter rain, the day when God's people are going to pick up speed and run with the vision. What vision? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. And these signs shall follow them that go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I like one translation that says, as you are going into all the world. Your world may be very narrow, but as I'm going into that world, the glory of God, the presence of God, God and I going together, labors together with Him, cooperating with the Spirit of God, striving according to that which is striving on the inside of me. Something's on the inside. It's the glory. It's the Spirit. It's the power. And it's working on the outside. And as I go out into the world, people begin to notice something's working. Something's happening. And they reach out. And they come into the kingdom and something begins to happen in them. And we share the work, the labor of the kingdom together. I've been back to college several times. Probably not ever going again. But one of the last times I went, I only lacked 23 hours. See, I've been so many times, I almost finished. That's the truth. And that is the truth. And so the last time I had about 5 classes. I had them all lined up, I think, to finish except for 3 hours or something. I just thought, why not? So I made it through my first class. I made it through history, and I got the introduction to education. And the teacher, it was a very, very large class, an excellent, excellent teacher, drawing the class in. And I was on this side, and every time he came to me, he'd stop. And then he'd kind of gaze away like that, and he'd go back to his teaching. He'd start over here again, teach all the way around. He always came back to me, and he'd just stop and just stare. He didn't say anything, so I didn't say, I'm not going to volunteer anything. He didn't ask me anything. And he'd kind of come to himself and he'd go back to his lecture. Well, about third or fourth time out, I don't know which time it was, he stopped and he said, "How come you look like that?" See, when you carry Jesus out into the world, the world begins to notice.
Yeah.
And I said, "Tell you what," not to him, but to myself, "this is no place for me." I am out of here. I had one more class. I did go. It was. I saved all the things I didn't like to the end, you know, how you do. And it was so ungodly. It was awful. I cried all the way home. Wayne's there for lunch. I get home. He's leaving. He's been there for lunch, and I get home about 1 o'clock, and I'm absolutely hysterical. You know, I only get hysterical once a year. That is the truth. But I'm so good at it, I have to limit it to once a year. Just really good at it. I'm not a weeper or a moaner or a groaner, but I am real good at hysteria. And that was the final day to withdraw and get your money back. And I'm trying to tell him, go take my name off and get my money back. And he doesn't know what I'm trying to tell him. And we had an office then in Lakeland, downtown at the mall. And so he went down at the mall and took my name off. Thank God for that. But it was the glory of the Lord that made a difference. I'm out there minding my own business. I don't know this man. He doesn't know me. But the glory, Jesus on the inside, the Spirit of God, the power of God, when God's people are full of God in this mortal body, the world's going to say, I used to have a mirror at the end of my hall, and I would pace and pray. Now, I've since moved. It's an awful place for a mirror. Everywhere you went, you see yourself. I thought, now that's for the birds. I moved that thing so if you're going to see yourself, you have to go stand right in front. But I'm just pacing and praying, not paying any attention. And every time I'd come to the end of that mirror, I could see the glow of the glory. Doesn't happen every time, but every time Jesus, the Spirit of God, the glory, is on the inside. It says, Christ in you, the hope of what?
Glory.
Well, what's the glory going to do? So we can all veil our face? Why no? So that we can make a difference. If you ever have anything you absolutely positively can't do, I mean, it's just too hard. You ever had a task? You know, it's just too hard. An apology to make or a neighbor to visit? It's too hard. You just can't do it. I'm telling you, pray up a cloud. And when the cloud settles, go right to the phone and get them over quick. Because in that glory, you have His supernatural strength. It says, strengthened with all might according to His power within. And when you get that power stirred up, you can step into that glory. You look changed into His image from glory to glory. See, you won't ever exhaust that glory. You won't ever come to the end where you can't experience more or be fuller of that glory. Now, Moses asked to see that glory, and God talked about a goodness because the glory of God is the goodness of God. And he said, I'll make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. That bothers people. Don't let it bother you at all. The psalmist said, the mercy of the Lord is for every generation. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place, what? A place what? By me. By me in the King James. He said, Moses, you can't see my glory, but I'm going to place you right here by me. There's a place by me. You know when you go to an auditorium and you want a seat, people are scavenging around for seats and they'll say, is that seat by you vacant? That's what James and John wanted. They said, we'll sit one on the left, one on the right. They wanted to be by Him. That's what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. They said, Lord, it's been good that we were here. Why? Because the glory of God is the goodness of God. He said, we'll just build three tents and we'll just stay. And you watch the glory of God settle in the house of God, the congregation among the people, and people kind of freeze. It's kind of like, and the service is over and nobody moves. Why? Because that's when God says, come here, Becky, sit right here by me. Right here by me. You can sit by me. There's a place by me, Moses. That was more important to Moses maybe than to you, because Moses is not born again. Did you know that? He said, pull up a chair. Pull up a chair. See, in heaven is my home, and that's where God my Father is. And as the Scripture talks about, that is the place of glory. Glory. My, my, my. Then he talked about his face and his back parts. Obviously, the glory of God is the tangible presence. It's when God is so close and so near that that cloud, that smoke, that fire becomes visible. I said, I haven't ever seen it. Just keep your eyes open. Because this is the day of the latter rain. And where does rain come from?
Cloud.
Where does rain come from?
Cloud.
It comes from the cloud. And I haven't seen the cloud, but I tell you, I felt the storm. Haven't you? And what happened in that upper room? What came? A great wind or a great storm and fire. What do you think that wind and that fire was? It was the glory of God. Amen. He said, pull me up a chair, guys. And I fill you full of myself. And then you can go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Oh, my, 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 my. Whew. Verse 23, I'll take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Was he or was he not talking about his person? When he talked about the goodness and the glory, he's talking about, I'll be there. I'll be right there, Moses. Now, Moses said earlier, he said, Lord, you've given me all this people and you haven't told me who's going to go with me. And God's reply was, verse 14, my presence shall go with you. And what happens when the presence and the glory of God is there? It tells you, I'll give you rest. 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 Exodus chapter 40. What a privileged people. God has filled every tabernacle that he's ever indwelt with his glory or his presence. Without exception, if he built it, he moved in to take up residence, to be at home. Now, this is the tabernacle that Moses built. You are aware it's mostly cloth. It's an outer court of cloth and an inner dwelling place of cloth. And after that was built and erected and the priests were consecrated, the sacrifices and those laws were set in order. Verse 34, well, let's read verse 33 is the final. He reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Now this tabernacle, mostly cloth, but God's first dwelling place, it's finished. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God said, this is my house, and I'm indwelling it. I'm moving in. And there he stayed until Solomon. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. David collected the money, and Solomon actually built the stone tabernacle. It's stone and wood, no longer the cloth dwelling place. But the new house of God, verse 6 is a wonderful prayer. Verse 7, prayer, it was a prayer of dedication. Now when Solomon made an end of praying, the what? The fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. God's second home, filled with himself. His glory is his presence, his very essence. And he filled it with himself. Now turn over to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Amen. Now, who is the temple?
We are.
Yeah. It's not cloth. It's not stone. It's me. It's you. Now, do you suppose that God wants to fill this temple with his very presence, his very essence, with his glory, as he always filled his temple, his dwelling place? Would you think so? Turn 1 Corinthians 6. I love the way this is worded. It says, what? He couldn't believe they didn't know this. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Like, don't you know that? Who's the temple? We individually and we corporately are the temple of God. Now turn to 2 Corinthians 6:16. It says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are, who is?
We are.
Who is?
We are.
And who did that glory appear to in the Old Testament? To all the people. You are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And when God starts walking on the inside, something happens on the outside. He's there to make a difference. Say difference.
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 See, when that glory descends in the congregation and you raise your hands, you're not worried about running, you're not worried about rolling, you're just saying, Lord, I receive. I receive something on the inside making a what?
Difference.
Making a what?
Difference.
I'm going to tell you what difference it makes. I had a real traumatic experience that's lived with me all these years. Last year, I got up one morning, and that place in my heart where the pain had been was gone. Mm-hmm. Completely gone. You could tell that. I mean, it's just not there anymore. Well, I assume somebody prayed for me, and maybe they did. Probably they did. You carry something that many years, you know, you have a hard spot there. Calloused, kind of, where that thing is concerned. And it's gone. But I realized what happened. See, you step into that glory and it makes a what?
Difference.
It makes a difference. And it says it was a devouring fire. It said it came like a devouring fire. And this thing that had hard and that hurt and that was painful was devoured in the presence of that glory. And it's gone. Why? Because the glory makes a difference. It changed the face of Moses. It changed his physical body. He no longer needs to eat. And it'll change whatever you need changed in you. I hadn't really given that much time and thought. You know, you just seal part of your heart in a little box here. That's the way it is. And you close that off, you know. But somebody opened that thing and devoured it with fire. And it's gone. I said to Wayne, he said, what do you want to do tonight? This is last year. I said, I want to go over so-and-so's. He said, you do? I said, yeah, I do. I really do. I want to go. So we went. Had a good time. The next night he said to me, what do you want to do tonight? Next night's Friday. We usually eat out on Friday. And so he's asking me where I'd like to eat. And I said, well, I really want to go over to so-and-so's. He went. He said, we did that last night, Becky, and if we go two nights in a row, they will really wonder about us. I said, but I want to go. Why? Because where that pain had been, you know what was there instead? The love of God shed abroad my heart. When God burned that thing out with His glory, He filled it with His love, and it had never changed. They're wonderful people. I didn't know that year before last. It was the glory. And when that glory comes, I might run. I might not. I actually only did that one time. And if you missed it, you may have missed my only debut. I don't know. And I might roll, but I probably am not going to roll. It's not in keeping with my base nature. But I might. You know, God begins walking on the inside. I mean, something happens to your nature. But one thing I know, I'm going to be changed. Rearranged! You like to rearrange your furniture? You know, Wayne's a really sound sleeper. I mean, he is a sound sleeper. I mean, a sound sleeper. And we go to bed about 11 or 12, turn the TV on, see what's happening in the world. And I go to sleep 12, 1 or 2. You know how that goes. I'm not a person that goes to bed early. In fact, people laugh, you know, the phone will ring at midnight. One of the children will call because they know I'm going to be right up to answer it, you know. And Joel and I are one night, midnight, we're just talking about something, talking, because I'm not one who goes to sleep early. But I thought, you know, if I move that piece over here, and while Wayne was sleeping, I rearranged everything but the bed. And the corner piece is too heavy. We have this heavy corner piece. I didn't move it, but I shifted the sofa. I shifted the chairs. I moved the end tables. I moved all the lamps. I traded the flower arrangements. Had a wonderful time. He never knew a thing. Never knew a thing. One night, I got the dryer going, the washer going. I'm running the vacuum cleaner. It's about 11 o'clock. I don't know when you do your work, but I cannot get up in the morning and do any work. You can forget it. But about 10 o'clock, I get inspired. And I got my washer going, my dryer going. I'm running the vacuum, and the dishwasher's going. And our dishwasher was real old at the time. It goes clickety-click, clickety-click, clickety-click. And Wayne is just sleeping away. And he's not paying any attention. But it must have been the continual click of the dishwasher. Something got to him, and he woke up. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I've just run the vacuum cleaner." He said, "I have to go to work at 7. I said, "Just give me 10 more minutes. Just 10 more minutes. I'll be fast. I can run it 10 more minutes. The dishwasher's about to click off, and I only have one more load for the dryer. Only one." And he looked at me like, "I'm trying to make a difference in my house. And when you make a difference in your house, it causes commotion and it makes noise. And you can't make much of a difference in your house without making a little noise." You thought I was lost, didn't you? And when the Holy Ghost begins to move and the glory of the Lord descends, if you can stand there and not make a little noise, not make a little fuss, you're unique. Because even I, who am very reserved, and that's the truth, that's on the back of our pew, you know. We try to conform to that. That's true. It says reserved. And we try to stick with that as best we can. But just every now and then, so I don't know how to dance, never danced in my life. I went to a meeting. We got there early. We were on the third row a number of years ago. And they really lit into it. And I do love God. And I'm so glad to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Right there, he pulled me out and says, "Guess what I have for you." And I am so glad. And so they're dancing, but I never had seen that. This row dances, and then this row dances. Wayne's on this side. Somebody's on this side. And they're dancing over here, and it goes this way. And Wayne and I are kind of... He had us holding hands, you know. And we're all standing there. And I thought, you know, your feet. You had trouble getting your feet moving? And it just seemed, and all of a sudden, I thought, oh, my. My, I think I'm fixing to move my feet. Oh, I had a great time. Right after that, I was on the front row on the side this way. I was the very final person on the front row on that side, all the way down. And the usher, they had ushers in every section. And this usher doesn't have any people, but he was assigned down there, so he's sitting down there by himself. So that same thing happened. The dancing swept this way, and when it swept to me, I just danced with everybody else. And I'm dancing with everybody else, and this usher's just standing down there. And finally, he comes down, takes my hand. Now, I didn't pray for him. I wasn't worried about him, wondering about him, didn't know who he was. He's just standing there holding my hand, you know, how you do, in obedience. And all of a sudden, he takes off dancing. Well, he danced and danced and danced and danced. And I didn't know him. I saw him later that evening. And he said, "Do you know, I've never done it before in my life." He said, "But something happened to me." He got a slopped over blessing. To the glory. And when you get close to the fire, you get close to the smoke, you begin to smell like smoke, and you begin to catch fire with the rest. He said, "I had to go home and change my suit because I didn't want to have to battle with a cold or with symptoms in my body because I was soaking wet. And the evening, you know, as the evening comes along, it would get chilly and he was damp." And he said, "I just had to go home. My wife wondered, what are you doing home?" I said, "I danced until I'm soaking wet." And she looked at him and went, "Because the glory makes a what?
Difference."
It makes a what?
Difference.
It makes a difference. And it changes people. Now, we are the temple. And that glory is on the inside of us. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. This is the prayer Paul is praying. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Are we, the temple of God, supposed to be filled with the fullness of the presence of the glory of God? Can we read again? Are we? To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with how much?
All.
How much?
All.
Have you ever eaten till you were filled with all the fullness? You know what that feels like? That's exactly what it feels like when you're filled with all the fullness of God. You just got too much on the inside, some of it's got to come out. Kind of like overeating. There's too much on the inside, we are cramped for room here. And that's when people begin to roll. And to run. And to leap. And I like what the pastor says, run as long as you want to, leap as high as you want to, but when you land, you better walk straight. And I believe that, because we are a holy people. And the angels in the temple said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His
glory.
And when the glory of God comes, it comes to make a difference. And one of the differences it makes, it obliterates sin. It makes a difference in the heart of a sinner or a backslider. Now look at Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Now that word train means the tail of your garment. And I believe that he might have had on a garment whose train filled the temple. But I know that what filled that temple, the train that filled the temple, was the glory of the Lord. And I'm going to prove that to you before we're all over. But if the glory filled the temple. And what happened to Isaiah? He stepped into that glory. And above it stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And he cried one unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And when the glory of God descends, people want to shape up their life. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with what?
Smoke.
And where does smoke come from?
Fire.
And where does rain come from?
Fire.
And have we asked for fire and rain?
Yes.
Then said I, this is Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Now watch. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said Isaiah, here am I. Send me. What turned Isaiah around from a man of sin to a man on a mission? He stepped into the glory of the Lord. He stepped into that glory. And all of a sudden, he wanted his heart cleansed and purged from sin. And he wanted to walk upright in righteousness with his Father. And when remission of sins and purging is done, and God's choosing a candidate for the mission field, he said, who's going to go for us? And he said, I will. You know, that's the key to the boldness you've asked for. The key to the boldness is found in the glory. You fill up with His fullness, with His presence. Turn to Acts 9. And then we'll all be glad to go into our neighborhood. Not too many going to be called to Africa or Europe or Asia. Most of you going to be called to your neighborhood and to your mama and your Aunt Bertha. You know who I'm talking about, Aunt Bertha? Yeah. I thought you'd know her. Now Paul comes into line. He told, we read it before, with that bright light, and it was the glory of God, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You see, when you persecute the church and the people of God, God takes it personally. He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Was his conscience bothering him? It was, wasn't it? And trembling and astonished, and that's what happens in the presence of that glory, people begin to tremble. He stepped into that glorious center, and he came out saying, Lord, what is it you want me to do? See, the glory of God is to get the people of God ready for the work of God in the world. That's right. Look at Luke chapter 2. You know what's in Luke chapter 2? Verse 8. Then there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Look at verse 9. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and what? The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord, what?
Shone.
What happened after their encounter with the glory? Look at verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now...
Go.
What did they say?
Go.
Let us now what?
Go.
Let us now what?
Go.
Let us now what?
Go.
Did he say to you and I, go into all the world and preach the gospel? And as he fills you up with his presence and you're full of God in this mortal body and your heart begins to beat with his heart and you begin to be changed into his very image, then we're prepared to what? Let us now?
Go.
Or to say with Paul, what would you have me to do? Or to say with Isaiah, here am I, send me. See, the glory of God makes missionaries out of the people of God. It prepares us to go into our world and make a what? Make a difference. Have you ever tried to make a difference and you couldn't make one? You ever tried that in your cooking? My daughter could always take a strange recipe and make it work. And she always cost me a lot of money because she's always sent me for ingredients, you know, a $6 jar of some kind of chutney. The man and I looked all over the store for it. He didn't know what it was. I didn't either. Till some lady had pity on us and suggested we look in jams and jellies, which is where we found it, you know, and some special mushroom. And I said, oh, Suzanne, you know, your mother doesn't know her mushrooms apart. I mean, and you know she's picky. I said, if I come home with the wrong mushroom, I was just begging for mercy before I go, because I know it's likely that I would come home, I mean, because I know they don't know. They don't know where the chutney is. They don't know their mushrooms apart either. Well, she could take strange ingredients and make a difference. And that's what God can do. We look like a pretty strange, odd lot to me. But he said, I'll use you. He says, I can use you to make a difference. To make a difference. To make a what?
Difference.
To do what? Let us now.
Go.
Yeah. Oh, my, 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 my. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. But who?
We.
Who?
We all.
We all. How many?
All.
With open face, beholding as in a glass or mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Changed into what?
Amen.
The image of what? What are we looking at in the mirror? We're looking at it in the mirror and we're becoming like the reflection in the mirror. We're looking at the glory of the Lord and we become changed. And who is the glory of the Lord? It is the presence of God, the person of God, and the goodness of God. And do you know what happened in that stone building when Solomon dedicated that temple? And it says they all fell on their face and worshipped and said, "For the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever." The glory of God, the goodness of God, the presence of God, the person of God in this temple makes a what? And here's the difference. It makes it changes me into His image. We used to sing, "I want to be a reflection of His image, a replica of God's beloved Son." That's not going to happen because you give it everything you've got, though you must give it everything you've got. It's going to happen because you step into the presence of the Lord. And in His presence, you become like Him. And when you step out into the world and you look like Him, the world's going to say, "Where did you get that?" See, we stepped out of the shower and we ran into the neighborhood, but we didn't look like Jesus and we couldn't make a... Yeah. Changed into His image. Changed. Now look at Philippians chapter 3. Just a couple weeks ago, I'm dancing with those that dance, you know. Susan's over here as always. Wayne's over here as always. So I'm comfortable. This is my usual group. And I'm just doing my thing, not paying much attention. And something happened to me that's never happened to me before. It says, see, we're changed from what?
Glory to glory.
Glory to glory. But just 2 weeks ago, I have never, I mean, I'm trying to be dignified. But I'm telling you, and I had them both by the hand, so I was kind of strangled. But something came up my foot and into my knee. More glory, more dance than I've ever had before. And I went, "Whoa!" Susan went, "Whoa!" Oh my, it was the glory. It was different. It was deeper. It was fuller. It was changed into His image. I looked into the face of Jesus as He came and said, "Sit here by me, Becky." And when I sat down by Him, He made a dancer out of me. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. And what was the power of the resurrection? Said He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And what makes me conformable unto His death? It's as I step into His presence and am changed from glory to glory. And Paul says, I could just get a little closer to the glory of God and know that power. Why? Because He's going to... And what else? And what else? Go. He's going to go into all the world, the known world at that time. He's going to go make a difference. He's going to go because He's a changed man. He was against God and He threatened God's people and He murdered them. And He came so washed by the blood of the Lamb that He said, "I've harmed no man." 2 Corinthians 7, He says, "I've harmed no man." Well, no, He didn't. He killed him. What took a murderer and filled him with the glory? Change. You see the change? You see the change? And it doesn't matter where you are or what you need. That glory of God, that power of God, that presence can make a difference in you. Oh, thank God for that. That's what He said. I want to know the power, which was the glory. I want to be conformable, which is changing from glory to glory. Now look back at Psalm 73, verse 24. It says, "Thou shalt guide me with Thy counsel." Who is the counselor? "And afterward receive me." Receive me where? Receive me where? In glory. The most radically changed man I've ever seen. Didn't get born again until he was in his 60s. But one day somebody shared Jesus with him. And the sweetest, kindest, the most radically changed man you have ever met in your life. Hard to go see him. I'd go and he'd hug your neck and squeeze you so tight and beg you not to go home. And you'd been there all day long, you know, and you got to go home. And he'd say, Oh, love you so much. Don't go home. Don't go home. Don't go home. Well, the day came that he went home to be with the Lord. One of the last conversations we had was over a picture book, and we were looking at that. And he was a little concerned because he didn't have much Bible knowledge. He got off to a really late start. And he said, is heaven really up there? I said, oh, it is. He said, now you're sure? Because he knew death was approaching, see. And he was insecure. And when he died, the Lord gave me a spiritual song. And I began to sing, green grass. He wasn't interested in cities and lights. God was reaching him where he had need. Green grass, in glory there's green grass for you at last. And he stepped out of this realm into the glory of God. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about it, but it said Jesus ascended up in a cloud, and I don't believe those were cumulus clouds or any other sort. That cloud was the glory of the Lord. And said, he shall so come in like manner as he left. He's going to come in the cloud of that glory, coming from the glory world with the glory around him. And it says his people would be caught up together with him into the cloud. And it'll be God's glory. And if we don't die and step into glory before it gets here, we're going to step right off of planet Earth and step right in to the glory of the Lord. And deeper, fuller measure than we've ever experienced here. But we will recognize it because we've had it in our midst and we've had it in our heart. And it's changed our life and it's caused us to go into all the world. And we'll say, yeah, this is that. This is that. This is that.